So as we celebrate the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy, you know, Easter is a time of, you know, joy, alleluia, Easter lilies, new life, resurrection. But as you heard in the gospel, the first experience of Easter was not full of joy. In fact, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They were scared. They were scared of dying. They were scared of probably, you know, ending up just like Jesus. They felt betrayed themselves, probably heartbroken. And Jesus also must have felt hurt, because not just Judas, but everybody betrays him, right? Yet he rises from the dead, and when he appears to the apostles, what are the first words that comes out of his mouth? It says this many times, peace be with you. And not, I told you so, is not out of anger, out of spite. He just says, peace be with you in a genuine way. And for me, I feel jealous because I don't think I can do that. Can you do that? Somebody has wronged you. Somebody has betrayed you. Can you go up to this person and genuinely say, peace be with you? You know, and how come he can do it and how come we can't do it? All right. Well, there's a simple answer, and I'm going to explain the long answer. Simple answer is Jesus is God, we're not God. The longer answer is, I think in the context of forgiveness, we deal with the aftermath, after the betrayal. So some event occurs, right, where you're hurt or somebody betrays you, and then you say, well, I need to forgive because Jesus forgives, so I need to be merciful. But it's hard to be merciful. It's hard to forgive, and it's going to take time to heal. Right? Well, Jesus, if you pay attention to the Gospels, all four Gospels, he has already forgiven them before the betrayal has occurred. Did you know that? How many times in the Gospel do you hear throughout Lent and through ordinary time, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer and die on the cross. But don't worry, he will rise from the dead, and you do not understand it now, but you will understand later on. That later means today, that later means resurrection, that the risen Christ appears to them full of mercy to forgive, not because of what happened, but beforehand, before the apostles did anything wrong to Jesus, he already knew what's going to happen, and he has already forgiven them, right? And this is what I would like us to focus on this week, something I call pre-forgiveness. Have you heard of this? Pre-forgiveness. I haven't heard of it either. But it is a new concept. They use it in the business world. I have a good friend of mine. She works in the LA Unified School District. That is the second largest school district in the United States after New York. So you can imagine a lot of drama going on over there, right? And she is in charge of kind of mitigating the drama, making sure everybody get along in her department, right? This, I don't know how many people. There must be like thousands of people in her department. And what she noticed was, during the meetings and after the meetings, you know, like, people are mean. You know, they're mean and they're backstabbing each other and, you know, lying and cheating, everything, right? And she says, why can't we just get along? And they can't get along. So she introduced this concept called pre-forgiveness. Let me explain to you what she did. So before the meeting happens, she gets everybody together in the room and she says, we're all gonna forgive each other. So before the meeting occurs, so I forgive you, you forgive me, I forgive you, you forgive me, I forgive you, you forgive me. So then we can actually fight. Then afterwards, we can be honest with each other because we've already forgiven each other, right? Then we can actually focus on what's important is the education of the students. And cognitive bias. Cognitive bias teaches us that seeing is believing, but I think what's more important is believing is seeing. Okay, the brain constructs own images of reality and projects them into the external world. Thomas operates under the mode of seeing is believing, right? What does Thomas say? I don't believe none of this stuff. Show me what? Show me the nail marks on the side and the hands. Show me and then I will believe. That's how most people operate in forgiveness. Let's say there's a couple, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. Let's say the boyfriend cheats on the girlfriend. Right? Classic. What happens afterwards? The boyfriend says, "Oh, I'm sorry. You are the one. I was being foolish. I was being an idiot. But I love you. You're the one. Please forgive me." And then what does the girlfriend say? "Oh, sure, I forgive you." No. What does she say? Goodbye, that's one option. But if she wants to continue, she's got to say, "Show me. Show me, you know, like, you got to prove to me. You got to earn my trust because you've disobeyed. I lost my trust. You have to show me. You got to earn that respect." That's what Thomas is saying. Show me. But I'm telling you, Jesus says, blessed are those who what? Thomas, you want to see and believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. So, what if in that boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, before the boyfriend, you know, it cheats on her, she says, "I forgive you." Right? She says, "I forgive you. I pre-forgive you." So that when he does cheat on her, it makes it easier. It makes it easier. This is called pre-forgiveness. If it's not just seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. If I can pre-forgive you, if I can believe that I'm a person of love, person of forgiveness, person of mercy, when somebody hurts me, when somebody betrays me, I can actually see it happening. Right? Just like how Jesus, he has already pre-forgiven his apostles, even before they committed the betrayal. Right? It's kind of like a flu shot. It's kind of like bowling with the rails, the guardrails. It's kind of like automatic credit card payment. It's kind of like if you have those fancy cars, lane assist. You know, you have already set things in motion already, right? This is called pre-forgiveness. I want you to practice that. Actually, you want to practice it now? Say yes, okay? So, I know some of you are sitting by yourselves. If you're sitting by yourself, think about your loved one that you want to pre-forgive and say, "I forgive you," right? For those who are seated together with family or friends or brothers and sisters, I want you to face each other right now. Like, move those hips, face each other, look at them in the eye, look at the person in the eye, and say, "I forgive you." And I want you to hear, "I forgive you." Come on. You don't want to do it. Some of you are doing it. Yeah, there you go. I see you doing it. "I forgive you." And you hear the words, "I forgive you." This is pre-forgiveness. And you're thinking, "I forgive you for what? I forgive you for what?" Well, let me tell you. Guaranteed, sooner or later, this person is going to do you wrong. Guaranteed, sooner or later, you're going to do this person wrong. But you've already said the words, "I forgive you." You've already set the process of forgiveness in motion. You already believe that I'm a person capable of loving, capable of forgiving, capable of being a person of mercy. So that when the betrayal occurs, you can say, "Peace be with you." So when the betrayal occurs, it's not like, "Oh, this person was mean to me. Now I got to think about it. You got to earn my trust. You got to see to believe." No, I believe to see. Jesus has already pre-forgiven us. And that's the model to follow, right? So practice this week, on this week of divine mercy. Think about your loved ones. Think about your family. Think about your friends. Practice the gift of pre-forgiveness. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I love you. I have already forgiven you. Done deal.